Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 343, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I am your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin Mike down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm fabulous, buddy. How's it going?
Good. And if you're joining us on YouTube, as you can see, we are joined by Sean and Matt, our good friends from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Says the guy in the giant sweatshirt.
Yeah, well.
All things, you know, considered, right?
I feel awful. You guys just did our podcast, and like we're using Skype, and we come on your show. It's like all professional. You have your whole intro playing. You know, we can see each other talk, and on our show, yeah, it's like the ghetto.
You could learn a thing. You guys like the all-star music, and we're like the Grandestino Tower. New, shiny.
Exactly.
High rise. All style, no substance.
Can you at least be pop? I mean, you're going to throw us to the all-stars?
He said ghetto. That's kind of our,
I mean, are we just going to harp on the all-stars? What did I say? Ghetto families last week?
I don't think you said families. Well, maybe you did. That was pretty harsh. That even made me clam up.
You turned red as a lobster.
Yeah, I mean, that was about the color of my Golden Girls shirt when he said that.
I mean, no one's broken out of the song yet. Like, I thought Mike was going to go, like, in the ghetto, you know,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, the little Elvis Presley song. That's not too bad. That's right. But thank you guys for joining us. As you said, we just recorded your podcast, which came out when this one comes out a few days ago. So definitely check out Enchanted Tiki Talk if you don't already. And check us out on there and subscribe to them anyway.
We haven't had any downloads yet.
No, I mean, if you edit it, is it already up?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's been out for a couple of days, but we still have no downloads on it yet.
We'll see. We'll come back. We'll figure this out in the future. But why don't you guys give us a little quick rundown for anyone who doesn't know you. Just give us the elevator pitch for your show. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, and we'll move on to our topic at hand.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. I'm from North Carolina. I originally started on a show, Dixie Landings, with Scott Campbell, and had both of these gentlemen on as guests. And I've been doing the Disney thing since I was three, I think, is when I took my first trip. It was, pre-Epcot, all they had was Magic Kingdom. And I've been hooked ever since, trying to find a way to get back down there as soon as I can, whenever I can. Met Sean, and unfortunately Keith isn't with us, but
he's alive. He's
alive. He's not. But met those guys, and me and Scott had joined over on the Chantiki Talk with those guys once. They asked us to come over and help out, and it's been a storybook ever since.
Oh, that's so nice. It was nice. Yeah, Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast. We've been around for now, it's 7 years. It's literally like 7 years. So good times, bad times. But like we were talking on our show with you guys, was that the best part is meeting people, making friends. That's the amazing part, is I met Keith and Alan over the internet, and we became lovers and friends and everything in between. But I've loved Disney since I went my first trip in 1984. So I know Gary a couple weeks ago had mentioned about not wanting to live and experience Epcot in the 80s. And Epcot in the 80s was incredible. And that was the park. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who likes Epcot now probably would have loved Epcot back then, because there was not that there was more to do, but there was much more to experience, a lot more experiences than that. And that's why I love the parks. You know, Horizons was incredible. I'm a retro kind of person. Mike's more retro as well.
I think that's code for old, right?
Yeah.
You guys are old. You know.
It's nice to be the young one in the group for a change. Usually it's like, I mean, between me and Mike, I'm younger, but usually, you know, I feel like an old fuddy-duddy now, but you all got me.
No.
But Matt's talking about being in Disney before Epcot.
Before
opened.
Epcot,
I was like, oh, yeah. I wasn't even born yet. I'm like, okay, I'm the baby here. I'm the baby of the group today. That's good.
But, I mean, that's my love of Disney. That's my biggest memories are probably a lot of attractions aren't even around now. 20,000 Leagues there. You know, I remember that. The Skyway. Those are things that I remember the most and Horizons. So, I mean, we could do a whole show just on that. But, I mean, that's how I started my love of Disney. And then podcasting many, many years later before, you know, way after my 20th trip or whatever it was, you know, starting a podcasting. So, but I love it. And it's great to meet guys like you and Matt and Keith. So, you know, that's why we do it, is because they're friends. We love meeting people, talking to people.
It's definitely not about the money.
No, I think we owe money.
Yeah. It's definitely cost us money. Well, we definitely appreciate you guys coming on. And I know back when Mike and I first started, I think we had done like 10 episodes and you had us on your show. And that was nice that you guys reached out and kind of got us, brought us in and under your wing a little bit. So definitely was a good thing. And both, you know, between the two shows, there's like, what, 700 episodes between the two of us, which is stupid to think about.
Yeah. And I would love to, I should go back and listen to that one of these days and just to see what we sounded like back then versus now and see how much has changed. Oh,
do you ever listen to like original episodes? It's brutal. I listened to like our first episode and I'm like,
yeah, the first episode has changed. Yeah.
A lot has changed. But so usually, as you guys know and all our listeners know, we usually just banter and BS for the first 10 minutes or so. But since we have two guests on and we got a lot to do, I want to get right into
it. And you have an early tea time.
And I do have an early tea time.
Most
yes.
importantly.
Let's not bury the lead. Out. Hey, I finished second place in this tournament last year, so I got to go back and defend my position.
How many people were in it? Three?
Hey, two. It was like at least 30 groups.
Oh, really?
It was a scramble, so I can't take all the credit, but I made a couple putts. But I'm going to get right into my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week, unless anyone else wants to step forward first. But
I'm drinking whiskey.
Whiskey doesn't count. Matt's not speaking up. So I'm going to go ahead with my Castle Island American Lager from Castle Island Brewing out of Norwood, Massachusetts. This is an American Lager, 5.2% alcohol by volume. As you know, one sip. Everybody knows the rules. I'll give it my score. This one's a little, it's got more maltiness than the lagers I'm used to, which is basically Narragansett, which I'm used to, and this has more substance to it, more bite. I like it. One sip, everyone knows the rules. I could drink a few of these. This is a good one. I'm going to go with a 7.9. It's a good beer. Classic American. I'm a lager guy, so it's probably skewed me a little bit in that. 7.
I'm a little confused. Looks like you did two sips before you gave your score.
One sip, everybody knows the rules. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. All right. Well, on that note, I think we should probably hustle into our first break, and we'll come back and get into the meat of the episode right after this.
Time to be free. To be free. Be on the move. To go anywhere. With never a care to. Do all you wanted to do. It's fun to be free. To be free. It's fun to be free. To go where you please, with comfort and ease to see all there is to be seen. It's fun to be free, to be on the move, to go anywhere, with never a care to do all you wanted to do. It's fun.
on the moon, to go where you please, with comfort at ease to
see all there is to be seen. It's fun to be free.
All right, we are back from break. This is episode number 343. Of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And John, you try to sell products here? You got like an eBay shop going up?
It is. You can check out my eBay store at Tiki Sean Does eBay.
Is that a real thing?
No.
Oh, I don't
either. Could be. Know. I don't know.
You never know. Oh, but this week, on the heels of Disney just like ripping out our hearts last week and taking away the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, Yeehaw Bob, and then telling us they're laying off what, almost 30,000 cast members. I thought it'd be fun to make ourselves miserable for an episode and talk about the top five things that we miss most that Disney World has ripped away from us over the years. And I have a feeling these lists may all be very different because everybody holds certain things close to their hearts differently. And you know, it could be something at a resort, could be a restaurant, could be a bar, could be an attraction, a show, just really anything that's gone that you miss. And simple enough. I mean, we talked about it even just in the intro. You said a lot of the stuff that you remember from when you first went, you miss a lot. So we'll see what we get into on this list. So top five things we miss that no longer exist at Walt Disney World. How about Sean? Why don't you start us off since you asked all the questions on your show?
Sure. So you know, I wanted to stay away from some of the obvious ones, like we stated at the beginning of the episode, the Grand Floridian Orchestra. While I wasn't like a huge fan of the Grand Floridian, those are the things that people remember and appreciate and sends them and wants them to go back to Grand Floridian. They'd be like, hey, do you remember little Bobby was dancing to the Grand Floridian Orchestra when we checked in? Oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to have that anymore. But along those lines, one of the things that I remember most, a lot of my things are going to come from Epcot. As I stated at the beginning of the show, was Epcot has the most memories for me.
And they also rip the most out of it as
they
well.
They do. There's no doubt about it. Some people might not even know who this was, but Mayuki Candy Lady at the Japan Pavilion. I have notes here. So she was there from 1996 to 2013. And what she did was she created candy on a stick and she would hand out the candy to a kid in the audience or an adult in the audience. And the best part about it was everything she does was very intricate and she was an artist with candy. So she would make a dragon and the dragon would have all its spines and everything like that and teeth with the mouth and everything. And she would tell a story while she was doing it. So it was like the great storytellers of Epcot and the amount of stories and the people that she met and the lives she affected with this, with a free product too. It was given out free to people. You didn't pay for it if you were selected for it. It's just one of those things you had to stop and watch. And those are the things that you do miss. And even the drummers at Japan, they got rid of them as well. It's those small things that make you stop and be like, wow, you know what? This isn't just a park. It's an experience.
Yeah. And more on that, the candy thing. I think she was the first or maybe only woman who did that. I guess it was only.
Yes, you're right.
She
correct.
She like apprenticed under somebody and she was like the first woman to do it.
Correct.
She did it for years and years. And I remember, again, watching that on our honeymoon. We went in 2011 and it was a great experience. And the next time we went back, we went to look for it and it was no longer there.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Actually, when I was a kid, they gave me that. I got one of those.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I remember the guy told me, like, you had to make it dry, and so you had to hold it by the stick, and you had to do this.
Right.
And pretty much he made me do it for the entire show, and if I stopped, then he would give me some. But I remember flying home on, like, Delta or Eastern Airlines old school, and I put it, like, in a soda can. So I put the stick in a soda can, and that's how I traveled, and it made it back to Rhode Island.
Wow.
But, great memory.
See? Those are the things.
Exactly.
You know, and you don't have that anymore. It's a shame.
All right, Matt, how about your number five?
I don't have anything as in-depth as Sean does. The one thing that stuck out most to me, I know Disney's got a couple water parks, but I really miss River Country. I feel like that, you know, if they really wanted to work at it, there's some way they could have made that park work. It was an awesome part of that area with Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge, and kind of tied in that whole area down just past Hoop-Dee-Doo and everything. It was, you know, it was never overly crowded like some of the newer parks, so that kind of added some of it to it. You know, it was one of those things. It was just a simple, like I said, a good old-fashioned watering hole, and then it was a ton of fun. I love that place.
Now, the other day, Matt, I was messaging you guys, and I was saying I was watching the Mouseketeer special, that the Mouseketeers go to Disney World in 1970-something. Yeah. They were in River Country. So part of the episode, they filmed in River Country, and, I mean, that brought back memories for me. And I was going to put that on my list, and it was going to be there. And it was such a great park, and it's the first water park I've ever been to. And, I mean, it's just – it's one of those things like Action Park. I mean, everybody knows Action Park. And it's such for different reasons. And, but the one at Disney World, it was just, you just remember that. It was a old fashioned watering hole. And that's what it felt like. It felt like you were in the middle of the wilderness in this water hole having a great time.
Yep.
Mike, what's your number five?
I'm going to go to Hollywood Studios, Billy. Mulch, Sweat, and Shears.
Hmm. Just more street atmosphere, just unceremoniously chopped off at the knees.
Nice choice of words.
Yeah, no pun intended. But yeah, they just, you know, some of the entertainment stuff, you don't know the full story behind it. Maybe the, you know, the act wanted to move on and do something else. But generally, I always just assume it's Disney's cutting cost. And, you know, the thing is, they never replace it, do they?
No, like I said last week, they take and they never give.
It's not we're not renewing Mulch, Sweat, and Shears to bring you this. It's just like they're gone. Now look at the street or just go to our shop instead.
Yeah, I mean, you see like some of the people that were in the band or whatever, they get repurposed for another musical act or something like that. But no, it's not like they enhance the act and and bring it back or anything like that. It's just, okay, see you later. Just
gone. And when Studios was a quarter day park for a couple of years, you would have thought that's the stuff they would have brought back, but they didn't.
Yeah.
All right. My number five, this was only number five for me because I never experienced it at Walt Disney World, but I did at Disneyland and I loved it. And it's not there at Walt Disney World anymore. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which it's just so cheesy and old school.
It's so cheesy, isn't it?
Cheesy, old school, dark ride with cardboard cutouts. It was so fun to go on that when I was in Disneyland. And then to see that stupid Winnie the Pooh ride in its place at the Magic Kingdom, it's like,
I can't tell you the last time I was on that thing.
I mean, the kids like it and, you know, whatever. It's fine for what it is, but the line's always ridiculous for that. And it's so short. Mr. Toad's just a stupid old school Disney ride that's just so cheesy and fun, and the soundtrack's good, and I miss it. Even though I never had it at Disney World, I still miss it because I went on it on Disneyland. I'm like, this thing is so cool.
And where else could you go and get on a ride and get run over by a train and end up in hell?
Yeah, exactly. All right, number four, Sean.
So once again, I'm in Epcot, and it's going to be Sergio the Juggler. He ended like the day before the quarantine started.
I didn't even realize they got rid of him.
Yeah, March 15th. It was like no one knew about it. You know, he's just gone. I think they announced it like the 12th or 13th, just days beforehand. And his last day was right before the parks closed. And
wow.
I loved him because he had so much energy and he had a smile on his face that went from ear to ear. And we have so many great memories of my kids stopping and watching him, and the kids, you know, seeing he's got me performing things. So my kids got to see me actually interacting with him. It's one of the few times that I've actually interacted in one of the shows. And I just loved it because the music always, like anytime you heard the music, you had to stop and look and see what's going on. You know, when you're walking, you hear him and, you know, he's pulling his little bag of tricks and all that. I think he showed up in a rowboat, I think is what it was. Not a rowboat, I think it was a gondola or something like that. And it was just so much fun. And it's just it's things like that. It's like I stopped and I looked and I enjoyed it. My kids remember it and still we'll talk about it. But, you know, you're just constantly taking things away and that's just one of them.
Yeah, it happens so often now you don't even realize stuff's gone. Like I said, I didn't realize they had axed him. Matt, what do you have for number four?
Number four, again, I'm kind of going to go back and show my age a little bit. You can get this over in Disneyland, but they don't do it anymore in Disney World. I wish they would. I mean, obviously now they can't, but I wish they would find some way to bring it back. But the meet and greets, instead of lining up in a queue in a single file line, to me it was more organic when they just happened to randomly show up somewhere. And if you were there at the right time, then great, you could get a picture and an autograph. Now it just kind of it takes away from it where, oh, okay, well, they'll be here for the next 2 hours, and then...
Yeah, you got to get your fast pass to meet Cinderella or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it just takes it all away. I mean, that was one of the things when I was a kid. I can remember, you round a corner and, Pinocchio standing there, and it's just kind of like, oh, wow, this is awesome. Now it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'll come back in a few hours when he's still here.
Yeah, it's like you got to have a algorithm to figure out who you're going to meet. All right, who do you want to meet? This one, or this one? Because we only have this much time, and as opposed to just happening organically.
I'll say that's the worst part too. Is like when you first walk in the Magic Kingdom and they got like Pluto here and somebody over here, and you got the kids, and like, all right, well, we got time to do one. Pick one of them. They just kind of look at you like, I can't pick one. I want to do both of them. I'm like, all right, sorry.
Mike, what do you got?
Billy, I'm an old miserable curmudgeon, but I actually do like parades.
Yes.
And I miss that parade at Animal Kingdom.
Mm.
Mickey's Jammin' Jungle Parade. I had to look the name up. I didn't even remember the parade name. But I liked the music, and we always hung out there, like as a family. Like with your family. Yeah. That was a time where Frank would buy us all drinks, and we'd just stand around and watch the parade.
Watch the parade come through.
It was perfect.
It's ironic because that's also my number four. I guess you could tell we're related.
Oh, wow.
The Jammin' Jungle Parade at Animal Kingdom. Just that, again, it was just something nice. It was a good parade. It just felt unique. Obviously, it was unique to Animal Kingdom, but it wasn't just a cookie cutter parade. It was good. They had, like a lot of cultural stuff in there to represent the different areas of Animal Kingdom, and then obviously the characters as well. But the path it took, it like kind of brought some life to that area of the park, Discovery Island and everything. Mm-hmm. And again, they just took it away and they replaced it with a big bowl of nothing. So they take and they take. But the prices keep going up, right? It's not like, oh, we're taking away the parade, but guess what? It's going to be $5 less to get in the park. It's like, we're going to take this away, this away, this away, and this away, and now APs are going up 23%, by the way. Right.
Well, and don't forget, look at currently, you're paying full price for a ticket. There's no discount on tickets or hotel rooms in Disney World.
And you can't even park up.
No. So, I mean... you see where they are.
Yep. All right, Sean, you're on to your number three.
All right. Once again, Epcot. Last time I'm in Epcot here, and it's the live tour guides on Living with the Land.
That's solid.
Now, it's one of those things where I love cast member interaction, especially if on an attraction like this. But it's such an educational ride, which is very rare now in Epcot. And I just feel like my kids would really enjoy talking to the guide as we're on it, because they're always asking me questions. And sometimes as a parent, you got to make things up. Might not be the truth, but you make things up because you don't want to sound like an idiot, like that you don't know. But you're pretty close most of the time. But there's sometimes you just don't know, and it would be great for the kids to ask a live guide. And it's great to learn because sometimes there might be something you're not even thinking of. Okay, so yes, there are guided tours that you can do. Of course, it's paid. You got to pay, and you can do behind-the-scenes tour. But something educational like that I think should be free, especially in a park that once prided itself on – education, edutainment is what Epcot was at the time.
How sad is it, though, that, like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, let's just be thankful they didn't blow the whole thing up. At least we still have the ride.
I know.
But think about, like, Kilimanjaro Safari. How much better that is because you have the driver interacting the whole time.
It was different.
Right.
Each time it was different.
Exactly.
Yep. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's how Living with the Land was.
And I still love Living with the Land, and I'm glad that it's still there, but how much better would it be with that?
Right. I want to hear a little veggie, veggie, fruit while I'm on the ride, too.
Can't go wrong with that. Matt, what do you have for number three?
I just slipped my mind. I was going off the parade that Michael's had spent. The Electric Light Parade in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there were rumors at one time about, you know, getting upgraded and then bringing in a replacement. And I mean, something, anything now would be great. I mean, obviously they don't have nighttime hours, but, you know, beforehand, I mean, some type of, you know, parade to run through, you know, Main Street would be awesome to see. I mean, even if they went back to those creepy clowns and Spectro Magic, I mean, just give us something to see at night.
Well, they couldn't go back to Spectro Magic because Disney World let the stuff rot. They didn't take care of it in backstage.
What I mean, you know what I'm saying.
But it's, I know what something. You're saying. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the Magic Kingdom once prided itself on their nighttime entertainment. I mean, we're lucky enough we had the water parade. I mean, if anything, I'm surprised that didn't go. But I mean, you gotta bring a parade back to Magic Kingdom. That's the thing the kids regret. My kids know fireworks, but they still talk about the parades.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, it's a theme. They just took it away and replaced it with nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, at least when Spectro Magic went away, they're like, all right, now you have the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Right.
And it's like, Main Street Electrical Parade went away, and now you get nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was talks of
that. Unless you want to pay for the Halloween party, because then you get a nighttime parade, or the Christmas party, or the after-hours thing. It's like, everything that you want to do that used to be unique and fun and, like, the stuff you remembered, like the extra magic hours when Magic Kingdom was open from 11 to 1 extra magic hours.
Right.
Like, how great was that? They don't do that anymore. Now you got to pay an extra $90 to experience that.
So, I mean, there's rumors that they were going to bring back the nighttime parade for the 50th anniversary, but now we know everything's on hold for the 50th.
Right.
Because you don't know when the economy is going to come back.
You don't know when they're going to be able to bring people back in the parks.
Well, they can now. The governor said they could do it. But, I mean, Gary, you're in the same boat as me. Like, tomorrow I'm going to cancel it. Is we had a trip planned for November, but because you have to quarantine for 2 weeks in our state coming back from Florida, I'm not doing that because I'm not keeping my kids home for 2 weeks.
Right.
They got to go to school.
Same thing. Yeah. I'm basically like, there's a fence around Rhode Island. I can't leave. All the surrounding states don't let me go. And
it's crazy.
Even though I work in Massachusetts and I'm playing golf in Massachusetts tomorrow, but hey, no, I'll just keep that shut.
Right. I can go to New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, everywhere else. No, man, you got to quarantine. You mean to tell me if I stop for the gas station in Ohio, which is a state away from Pennsylvania, I have to quarantine? Yeah, you got to quarantine. Okay.
Mike, you're number three.
I'm going to shoehorn what Matt said, and it's the nighttime parades at the Magic Kingdom. I love Spectro Magic. I love the music from that. But Main Street Electrical will always be a favorite of mine. I miss those.
Yeah.
Just the music, the memories, the smells of Main Street, just everything. It was perfect.
It just gave you something to look forward to when you were there.
No, is there anything more perfect than a nighttime parade as a kid or an adult? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, fireworks are great. Yeah, fireworks are beautiful. I know, you know, but a parade, I mean, there's just so much eye candy. There's so much to see.
Well, you know what's nice? The difference between a parade and the fireworks is when you want to watch the fireworks, especially now with the projection, you have to be in the hub or back straight on to the castle.
You need a good angle.
You get the same show from the parade, no matter which part of the parade route you're on.
Right.
It's the same show. You don't lose any experience of it. And, you know, they just, it's not worth it for them, I guess.
You planned your night around it where you caught the first one. And then the second one, you hit the attractions while everybody else was vice versa.
That's amazing too. They used to do it twice. Now it's
like, it was at 9 and 11, when I was a kid. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, my number three, I'm going over to my least favorite place, Hollywood Studios, a place that has been summarily destroyed by Star Wars and everything else. And this one, I think, may be on somebody else's list, but the Great Movie Ride was just the quintessential attraction. You thought Hollywood Studios the first, I mean, it was the icon of the park. It was the longest attraction, the best attraction, all those animatronics and just gone, replaced with a screen ride, a screen-based ride, which, you know, I haven't been on and I don't know. I've heard mixed things about
it. It's good. It's good.
See, I've heard the we had someone else on not too long ago said it was terrible. So he's who knows? I mean,
he's wrong.
That's fine. I mean, either way, I still miss the great movie ride, whether or not it could be great. But I missed the great movie ride.
The great movie ride could have been continued to have been great if they would have kept up with it and added scenes and changed things out. You know, if they,
I
if
agree
they
with that. Something
like that, you know, and it, they could have stuck around. But once again, Disney wants their own IP in there, and that's the reason why they got rid of it.
No, I understand. I know why it's gone. I understand, but I still miss it.
Oh, I agree. Like, I know.
The one thing I loved about, not the one thing, but one of the main things I loved about Hollywood Studios, even just the queue. Watching the old movies on a loop in the theater. It was just so unique and interesting. And
all the costumes.
Right. Exactly. See, I'm all for it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the only issue that I had with it is I always got the uninspired cast member.
Oh, right.
And here we have aliens. I'm like, all right, well, this is horrible. Thanks.
See, I love when Disney adds new attractions, but I would like them to add a new attraction but not take something away unless it's awful. Right. You know, Stitch is Great Escape. Everybody can agree it needs to go. And put something else in its place.
Yeah, but they just closed it and they didn't even put anything there.
I know, yeah.
It's like, why didn't they put the Mickey ride in that stupid spot instead of get rid of the great movie ride? Yeah. You know?
That was another great thing about the great movie ride when Sean was talking about Living with the Land, when they took away the cast members who actually talked. You know, they'd hit play and it would play for 10 minutes and then they'd like say something on the microphone after the fact.
Right.
Like I loved it when they completely narrated, especially if you got somebody who was halfway decent, but
into it. Yeah. Hey, we're on to number two. What do you got, Sean?
So I don't know if you guys can, if this is really should be on the list, but for this one, it's more of from end of August to end of December, it's that they've added all these party nights away and they've taken my time away from the Magic Kingdom. And it's like an example, I was down there once for 5 days, 6 days, and four out of the six nights they had parties. So I can only go to the Magic Kingdom two nights. So, and it was crowded those two nights. So I couldn't enjoy it unless I really wanted to pay an upcharge to do that. So I would just, I hate that they taken away the Magic Kingdom and charge up pricing for everything. Do it in some of the other car parks. I mean, now do it at Hollywood Studios. You can make a fortune at Star Wars. Why don't you do it there? Leave Magic Kingdom alone. I love Magic Kingdom. It's so kitty. I love it. It's so much to do. I love walking around, especially at night. That's the thing. Like you did it in the morning. I could care less, but night, I want to be in the Magic Kingdom at night. You know, I want to experience everything there.
It is great at night, and the nights don't exist there anymore. You're
right. No, they don't.
Because they don't do the extra magic hours as much at night. You get maybe 1 hour here or there, 2 hours here or there. You used to get 3 hours, 3-4 days a week at night. It was open past midnight, what, 4 out of 7 days usually?
I mean, and the parks were less crowded then. They were less crowded. Now they're more crowded. Well, not currently, but last year they were more crowded and they closed earlier.
And like you said, with the party, where they kick you out at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then everyone goes the other 2 days because they want to stay when it's open later. Exactly. And then it ruins the experience on those days.
Right.
It's a double-edged sword. I get you. I know what you're saying. It doesn't necessarily wasn't taken away, but it's something that you miss. So I'll allow it. As the judge, I'll allow it.
Thank you, Judge.
Joe Judge. What do you got, Matt, number two?
I was thinking you were getting ready to say this. I'm going over to studios, but I'm actually going to say the Backlot Tour. You know, back when it was the original Backlot Tour.
When it was an actual lot.
When you did the tram and you got off and actually did a walking tour and you went through the green screen rooms and stuff like that. That to me was, you know, the best part of studios when it first opened. Went by the Golden Girls house and then you went and they showed you how they did the video with the bee from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I missed that part of it.
And it was an actual working studio at that time, which made it unique as well.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie that they touted the whole time that they said that they filmed a short movie there and then they played it at the end? Do you remember what it was called? I think it was Bette Midler was in it.
Yeah. The Bette Midler movie.
Yeah.
Where she lost a lottery ticket. Was it called the lottery?
That's it. Yep.
Bang.
No one ever talks about that, the lottery. And that was one of those things that's what made the park great. And you got to see props from how they filmed that and everything. It was fun.
Yeah. Even like the stunt show and everything, all that stuff that's just gone.
Yeah.
What do you got for your number two, Mike?
Again, I mean, that was either going to be one or two, but we'll just continue talking about it. It was the Backlot. I mean,
yeah.
See, what I loved about that was it took a while, too. Like, I get so sick of just going from attraction to attraction to attraction. Hollywood Studios was something different where you could spend time and learn something and see something, and you weren't just constantly running from attraction to attraction.
And because that was what, 45 minutes, an hour?
Oh, it was
more than that.
It was like two or three hours. Yeah, because that walking tour took a while. And then you had Catastrophe Canyon.
Yep.
I mean, there was just so many cool aspects to that.
And then you would, and if they were filming something, you got to walk through the tour too. So like they were, if they were filming
On a hot set or whatever.
Yeah, it was great too. So you got to experience that. And it was that's the thing. The studios was an experience at the time. It wasn't a theme park. It was an experience.
Now maybe I'm misremembering, but didn't our grandfather get like nervous when the flood came down? Like he thought like it was real on the stunt.
When the fire at Catastrophe Canyon,
he
grabbed my arm. He's like, Mike, we got to get out of here. I mean, it was just so far advanced for, you know, this was 1988 or 89, whenever it was. And,
although looking back, I wonder if he was like busting your chops a little bit.
No, he was.
He was serious. Yeah.
Oh no, he was dead serious. He was serious. I remember my mom had to say, "Dad, this isn't real." And yeah,
I mean, it was hot. You would feel the heat.
You could feel the heat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I've always been an Epcot guy. You know, being a little kid, Magic Kingdom was always like number one. Then Epcot, as I got older, was I really like just. But for some years, Hollywood Studios was my favorite park. I mean,
hit that at the perfect time, though, because you were like 16 years old when it opened, and like that was perfect.
Indiana Jones stunt spectacular. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Fantastic. Because if you were 6 years old when Epcot opened, I mean, when Hollywood Studios, whatever, MGM opened, you wouldn't have enjoyed the Backlot tour.
No, probably not.
You wouldn't have had the attention span, but you hit it at the perfect time.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Yeah, well, I was 14.
Yeah, they would have caught you with the battleship scene or whatever they filled with the water and all that.
Ah.
They would have got you there, and they would have got you Catastrophe Canyon. Other than that, the driving through the back lot and everything, kids wouldn't have, they wouldn't have cared about that.
Yeah.
All right, my number two, we're going to head back to Epcot Center, and it's something that probably shouldn't be this high on my list, but I just love it so much. The Soarin' Over California, the new one, I just have so much disdain for, because I love the original, one of my favorite attractions, everything about it I loved, and then they quote-unquote upgraded to a subpar CGI laden terrible effects crooked Eiffel Tower. You know, even the smells aren't as good. Like how do you mess up the smells? It's so easy to put in good smells, and the smells aren't as good. The movie's not as good.
Maybe because every time you ride it, you're next to me.
That's a good point. But I mean, just the original one's so much better. All they had to do is like remaster it and upgrade, fix the screen, remaster that video, and keep everything else the same, and I would have been happy.
But you're so right. There's so much. They did so much to try to enhance it that, I mean, I don't need to get splashed from the whale and have dirt thrown on me. You don't need to have that as a cutscene every single time. It works once, maybe twice. You know, you don't need that every single time. You know, you're trying to tease the audience. It just doesn't work all those times.
That was the beauty of the first one, is that you just had like the golf ball come at you. That was like the one little cutesy thing they had.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, people like the golf ball. Let's do it every single freaking scene.
Yeah.
And every time the ball was hit, you still would duck.
Yeah,
exactly.
You forget.
Yeah, exactly.
But like everything in the original was pretty much real except for the golf ball.
Right.
Everything in the current one is pretty much fake.
The
kite at the Great Wall of China, the whole Taj Mahal scene's fake.
The Taj Mahal's
the elephant is fake. The whale's fake. The polar bears are fake. Everything is just, it's all like, there's so much beautiful things to look at that they could have filmed and put in, and they just
didn't need that.
They had to church it up with all this stuff. Like, just keep it, like, let us experience. That's what made the first one so great. You were literally like seeing the beauty of what they were showing you.
instead of a whale, you're telling me they couldn't show you a sightseeing cruise, and you're flying over the sightseeing cruise while all the people are on one side of the boat looking at the glacier? I mean, that would have been better. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's a shame. At least Epcot looked cool.
That part I like better. That's probably the only part of the film, because you end in Epcot instead of at Disneyland, which always is a disconnect on the original.
Right.
All right, so we're on to our number ones. Sean, well, you're in the leadoff position. Go right ahead.
All right, so I'm going to try to hit a homer here to take the lead in the game. And number one for me is my favorite time of year is Christmas, and I love being in Disney World during Christmas time. And the one thing that hurts every single year is Hollywood Studios and them taking away the Osborne Spectacle of Lights. That hurts. I mean, no, there's nothing that can replace that, because it's not, you have the projections over on Tower of Terror. It's great. You know, it's nice seeing that. There's so much you can do with a projection. But when you are at Hollywood Studios and you're walking through building to building, there's nothing more magical and exciting to a child or an adult is seeing Christmas lights being 10 feet, 6 feet in front of them, seeing everything up close. And when they change the lights and start dancing to music, it's something new. Every 3 minutes, it's a new song. And I just love that so much, because that feels like Christmas to me. You know, because you, I don't know how many times I've taken my kids out to drive around and look at Christmas lights and look for a great display. That was an incredible display with millions of Christmas lights. And you took it away from me. And I love Star Wars, and I understand why they took it away, but why isn't it somewhere else? Everybody loved that. People made their vacations to come see the Osborne lights. Every single year they would come back to see them. I don't see other people doing that to go see the Tower of Terror light up.
No. You know, it's I should say it's not funny, but it's almost like if you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's like half the stuff that you guys have talked about didn't even cross my radar. And I'm like, I do miss that. Like, I forgot about the Osborne lights, and it was great. Like, I went and I loved it. I was blown away. It totally, like, knocked my socks off. And now it's just an afterthought. And they get away with it every time, because people keep going, and we're the suckers. Yep. We keep going. I say that all the time. We're the suckers. They have us.
And interesting. You know, there's generations going forward are not going to be able to experience that. And that's the worst part of it, is that we have those memories, and you could see video, whatever, but it's not the same of walking through Christmas lights.
That
it's
doesn't translate on video. You can't watch that. No. I mean, you can watch it on YouTube, watch it. But it's not the same.
Yeah. Right.
Matt, what's your number one?
I'm going over to the Magic Kingdom, and again, showing my age on this one, the Skyway, the original Skyway that went from Fantasyland and dumped you off into Tomorrowland. It's something about getting up in those buckets and getting that perspective over the top of the park and everything that I miss. I mean, I don't miss walking underneath it, getting spit on by some, you know, punk kid that's, you know, thinking he's being funny or whatever, but I miss that attraction. It was a lot of fun, and I looked forward to it every time I went down there.
Yeah, that's one that, you know, I see in like old videos or pictures, and I'm like, it just looks like it belongs there.
It does.
I mean, it was awesome. It did kind of ruin everything, because you're looking down on Fantasyland, and you can tell that, okay, well, that's not the building that what it looks like on the front and everything. But still, I mean, it was just a cool, you know, thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
I love seeing the roofs of the buildings. You know, that fascinated me. Even as a kid, like, it didn't take me out of the magic. It didn't.
The train to like Rafiki's Planet Watch, when you go like behind the scenes and you see like where they keep the animals, the Animal Kingdom. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is cool. You get to see like behind the scenes what's going on. Mike, what do you have for number one?
What do you think my number one is, Billy?
Did we talk about it last week?
Yeah, we did.
Meridian Society Orchestra.
That would be my number one.
Yeah, I had a feeling it might be.
Going yet. Number one that they took away from me.
Is there anything left unsaid that you need to get off your chest here? I mean, you were pretty thorough last week.
Not really. I mean, just the memories. Like I told you, I said, you know, back in the day when you could smoke all over the place, my dad would have a heater, a 16-ounce Budweiser, and he watched the band while my mom was taking a shower getting ready for dinner. It's just memories.
I mean, and like you say that, and it's when you're a kid, and that was the first time you stayed there right when it opened and they were playing. But like, I went on a couple of trips just myself and my parents, like in the last 5 years, and we spent like 3-4 hours just hanging out in the lobby at the Grand Floridian, just sitting around, listening to the piano player, listening to the orchestra, just sitting and talking, relaxing before dinner or after dinner, whatever it was. And like those, there's nothing to draw you there now.
There,
like that was.
There's this, you know, like when we go up, if we have a reservation at Narcoossee's or Grand Floridian Cafe, you know, we park and we walk in the downstairs main entrance, and as soon as you hear those doors open, the whoosh, and then you hear the band, it just puts you in that mood. Mm-hmm. Or if you're monorail hopping and you get off on the second floor and those doors open, you just hear that noise. It grabs you.
You just ripped it.
And away. Now you're going to hear just a bunch of
nothing.
Yeah, just like people talking, and it's just going to echo throughout background an empty music. Lobby.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Like I said, at some point they'll just have a player piano down there instead of paying.
Well, you're not going to pay a guy like $9 an hour to play. You just
hit a button.
So, Mike, I have a question for you. Listen to the show last week. You said that you probably wouldn't stay back there at the Grand Floridian Orchestra now because they took. I said the Grand Floridian because they took away the orchestra. Disney offers you 1 week stay at the Grand Floridian for free, Magic Kingdom view, whatever view you want for free. Yeah. All they want you to do is talk about how much you love the Grand Floridian on your podcast and YouTube. Could you do it?
Yeah.
Everybody has a podcast.
I'd grab my ankles.
I mean, we have no morals here.
I mean, Gary jokes. He says, if you find a good deal, you're going to be up next week. That's so true. I mean, I'm still looking for good deals. I'm dying to stay at their DVC because I heard their DVC is fantastic, but.
I mean,
I'll get over it, and I'll be back there, and I'll pay $700 a night to stay there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, so my number one may come as a surprise. I'm going to talk about the Enchanted Tiki Room under new management. No, just kidding. we already touched on it, but the Main Street Electrical Parade. That was I missed that so much. You just anchored your night around it. You'd go back, like if you had park hoppers, you would go make sure you're in Magic Kingdom for the evening so you could check out the parade, get on a couple rides, get a Dole Whip for dessert or something, and just that was your night. And now, like, I don't know, I'll just stay at the resort. There's nothing that draws you to the parks at night anymore. Like, I don't care about the fire. I'm not a big the fireworks shows, they're too crowded. It's like you gotta be in the right spot, like I said, but the parade. Like the Main Street Electrical Parade, that soundtrack is just so good. All the floats, it's cheesy. It's like, it just felt like it had been there forever. Like, I know it wasn't. We know we had Spectrum Magic before, but it felt like that had been there. Like Walt Disney, like, had his hands in that, even though know
that. Well, I mean, that was there before Spectrum Magic. And then Spectrum
Magic. Right, and they kind of switched it back. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, we did what you were talking about. Sean, when we went down and did Wine and Dine, I can't remember what park we went to. We went to, everybody met at Ohana, and we ate, and we all looked there and watched, like, oh, we can go catch the parade, and we all went straight over to Magic Kingdom and watched the parade and then did a few, you know, free rides before we left that night. So, yeah, it's like you said, you kind of plan everything around, and you look at your watch, you know, what do you want to do? I don't want to go back to the room. Oh, let's go see the parade real quick. And it's sorely missing in that park.
Yeah, but isn't it funny? Like, I love watching the fireworks, but I'd much rather go see the parade. Like you're saying, if like you said, like Spectro's at 9 and the fireworks at 10, and I'm gonna rush for Spectro or Main Street Electrical Parade, not the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm the same way.
And I was gonna say, Sean and Matt, you guys, you remember the soundtracks? You know, we're all pre YouTube, so we'd buy you know the music and the soundtracks, and you'd pop that thing into a CD player and. Every song, you knew what the scene was from that parade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll do it now. I can listen to where if someone's got it streaming on one of the radio channels or whatever, and you hear something like, oh, I know what float that is. That's a little
There goes Peach Dragon coming out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's too bad that this – I mean, I'm actually surprised some of the things we didn't get to with our lists, but, you know, it just goes to show you how much things have changed, and change isn't always bad. Like, you can miss something and still say, okay, it's probably okay that it's gone, that they moved on from it. But it's a lot of the stuff that we talked about is like they took it away and just gave you nothing in return.
Right. Yeah.
At least, like, if you're a big Maelstrom fan, and they take it away, at least they replaced it with something.
That's because I mean, there's so many attractions.
It may not be what you want, but
at least it's there.
It's not just closed. Whereas you talked about like some of the entertainment options that they just get rid of at Epcot, and it's like, it's not like we took away the drummers in Japan and we replaced them with this. It's just that's just gonna have a big caution tape over it now.
Right. Like, there's no there's no Japanese reggae group there.
Oh, there might be. All right. Well, that being said, we'll take another break. We'll come back, and if you have any honorable mentions, we could touch on those. So we'll be right back after this. We are back from break. Episode number 343 is in the books. WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, joined by Sean and Matt from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast this week. We talked about the top five things we missed, and good thing, I don't know, Matt, were you drinking or was that just water that you had?
Oh, that was just water.
Okay. Well, three of the four of us were drinking because this was kind of a depressing topic that we were getting into this week. And it's good. It's not. I like looking back at the stuff that I enjoyed and that I missed, but it's like, oh man, why is this stuff going? Like, especially for me, because you guys are more old school fans. I'm more newer. It's only been the last 10 years, and already so much stuff has been ripped away in those 10 years. And then just to think back, you know, they're about to celebrate their 50th, and there's stuff all the way back that's gone that they never replaced anything with or that people are nostalgic for. And it's just so much that is no longer there that, and it doesn't mean it's necessarily worse. Obviously technology has advanced. Some things need to make way for bigger and better. You know, you look at the Land Pavilion and, you know, I love Soarin', but you know, Veggie Fruit, I miss it. Like, the song's cute, but really, that's not a huge loss at the end of the day. Like,
no, it's not. You can watch that on YouTube. It's the same thing.
That's what there's things like that where I get why they have to kind of advance things. The Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, I'm okay with that being gone right now. But they didn't really replace it with anything. They have the Pixar things there. So it's like, you could take stuff away, but give us something better in return.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you're talking about honorable mentions, and Horizons would easily be number one on my list for anything, but Horizons time came and went, and because people stopped going to it. It's only until after it's gone that people really love and appreciate the attraction. It's an incredible attraction. Easily top five Disney attractions of all time on many people's lists. The music was incredible. There's a great story to the attraction. And it's a family attraction, which at any age can go on, and that's less and less attractions now where anybody can go on.
Yeah, they don't build those anymore.
No.
Yeah, they really don't.
Yeah, but I mean, they did at least replace it with something.
They did, which I felt there wasn't a need to add it to my list.
Right, yeah. That's kind of the same thing I was going to mention, 20,000 Leagues, but I mean, there is something there now that, again, it does appeal to all ages where, you know, 20,000 Leagues, I think, was a little – obviously, it was very dated at the time, so it's it was going to be a little detrimental to the park. So it's probably better what it is now than having that back, no matter how bad I miss it.
Now, 20,000 Leagues, that's something, again, I never experienced that. But when I went to Disneyland, I did the Finding Nemo submarine thing, and I hated it. It was terrible. Like, I can't imagine that, considering it's the same everything, that 20,000 Leagues probably would be good. Like, people wouldn't think it's great now unless you experience it as a kid.
You have to experience it as a kid, yeah.
I will say, I've gone back and watched videos of it, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, why did I love this so much?
I'm the same way, because, like, I want to miss it, but I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, it was very cheap and cheesy, and I was just like, what was so appealing to this thing that I just had to go ride, you know, multiple times every trip? But yeah, it was something about it. I'm not sure.
I still remember when I realized that you really didn't go underwater more than a couple of feet. And I can see the water bubbles right in the top. My heart broke. I mean, that's a memory in my head that I still remember of realizing I'm not underwater here. That's just, you're just taking me along on this path. My heart hurts still.
Good stuff. Mike, you have any honorable mentions that you were close to adding to your list?
Yeah, I do. I have the Disney Inn.
Oh, that's I was trying to think of some resort things, but I couldn't come up with any. But yeah, Disney Inn. That's a good one.
Because that was a deluxe Shades of Green, but, that was priced at a moderate. I mean, it was a great resort, but it was a little off the beaten path. And
it was like centered around the golf courses too, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I did a trip with my buddy and we played golf and did Disney, it was absolutely fantastic.
Well, like the first Disney resort I ever stayed in doesn't even exist anymore. It's the Buena Vista, which is Saratoga Springs.
What was that resort?
It was, I think, Lake Buena Vista or Buena Vista Resort.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, like going to the village.
It was right next to the village, and it was like one bedroom. I think it was just one or two bedroom resort.
Yeah, because then didn't they turn that over to like the college students for a while,
I think so. I think they did.
Or for training, it was. I know that something they did like for that. A few years.
Or maybe it was the Disney Institute.
Institute. Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yep, that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm surprised Meisner's didn't make your list, Bill.
Yeah, but Meisner's was kind of replaced.
Yeah, but it was something terrible.
Well, it also replaced something else as well.
Yeah, that's also part of I guess with the Grand Floridian Orchestra, it's part and parcel with it.
Yeah, that place took over everything, didn't it? Yeah, that new bar? Did. Holy mackerel.
Just the ripple effect. It's like the butterfly effect. You don't think about it.
And Meisner's was a great bar.
It was just so simple.
It was just simple. That's all it was.
But that's what you want when you're staying at the Grand Floridian. You don't want to go to Trader Sam's.
You just want to have a drink and talk to somebody, right?
Yeah. That's why, like, the bars that I like Geyser Point, because it fits at Wilderness Lodge.
Right. It works. You know,
it fits there. Like, Trader Sam's, I know you don't like it, Mike, but Trader Sam's, at least it fits in the Polynesian. It fits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so does the Taboo Lodge as well. Like, it fits. It's a different type of place, but like Meisner's fit the Grand Floridian. It was like
Beauty and the Beast does not fit. I mean, if you would have did Alice in Wonderland, maybe could have done it.
Alice in Wonderland has more of a fit at the Grand Floridian.
Mary Poppins, but Mary Poppins wouldn't, it's more kid friendly. It's a shame.
It's kind of ironic they themed a bar around a kid's movie in any regard anyway.
Right,
crazy, but whatever. I don't have anything else to add here. Does any you guys you go ahead and you can talk about your podcast. Like I said, we were on your show this week. You're on our show this week, but go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find us at enchantedtikitalk.com. I believe so. You can find us on all you can ask Alexa. So if anybody's listening to this in the room, Alexa, play Enchanted Tiki Talk.
No, don't play it. Unsubscribe.
It'll play it, iTunes, Stitcher, all those fancy schmancy things.
Very good. Anything personal, any personal Twitter accounts you want to plug here, or you'd rather stay incognito when you're slumming with us?
No one's going to follow me. What am I, Tiki Show on 99, I think?
Yeah, don't That's follow what you say it is. It's a bad follow.
Yeah.
That as the people we don't tweet ever anymore.
I'm the same way. I mean, I've got an account, but I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I put anything out there. So
there's so much hate on Twitter.
Twitter is a dumpster fire, really.
Everybody hates everything. I go on Instagram and post pictures. I like to see pretty colors and stuff like that. Everything's happy on Instagram.
It's much happier. I mean, Facebook, I deleted it off my smartphone because it just made me so angry. I'm like, I can't look at this anymore.
Right.
Well, you know where you can find us. We are at WDWBTG on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe on all the typical places you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, Stitcher. I don't even know what else. There's more, but they're out there. You can find us, WDWBTG, our YouTube page, youtube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. I can't think of anything else, but I do appreciate you guys coming on and helping us out this week. It's always fun catching up with you guys. I know we kind of were like ships passing in the night. We always kind of say, oh, we got to do each other's show. And right. Then finally,
we got to do it more often.
Yeah, we could do it every week.
Yeah, well, let's not go out of here. I think we'd both wear out our welcomes with each other pretty quickly if we did that. Every 6 or 7 years is probably a good barometer.
I can tell you, Enchanted Tiki Talk will not be around in 6 or 7 years.
You promise? You're making that guarantee? Yeah, breaking news. Very good.
Gary, can I comment on your moss? What do you got going on there?
Do you
kind of look
it?
Like Phil Mickelson. Like, what's going on?
You like it? I got the almost the man bun going. I'm close.
Are you gonna do that? I asked you.
I'm thinking about it. I'm close to it. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I always like did the buzz cut, and then I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I'm 37 years old. I actually have hair. I might as well use it while I have it before I start losing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, my old man's been bald as long as I can remember him. So I'm gonna go with it. It looks good. I don't know. Midlife crisis, maybe. Who knows?
Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I'm okay. I feel good. Anyway, on that note, that's for all the people watching on YouTube talking about my wonderful hair.
That's a that's a good moss. I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have you thought about dyeing it?
Oh, that'd be good. Do that.
Wouldn't that be good?
Do the bleach blonde?
Yes.
No.
Yes, or the blonde tips.
Yeah.
Do the tips. Yes.
Yeah.
Tips.
I can do that. Yeah. What do I need? Like just some bleach or something?
I don't know. Sure, try it.
I'll find out. I'll look into
it. It's your hair.
I dug my head and bleached. Okay. All right. That's going to do it for episode number 343 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. Again, we appreciate Sean and Matt from the Enchanted Tiki Talk coming on to join us from my co-host Mike. My name is Gary. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R.